We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Words from our Declaration of Independence. The founding document, really, of our nation. And as wonderful though as those things are, they are really not what makes America unique. But there's something that was kind of odd when Jefferson was penning those words and working with Ben Franklin. Jefferson wanted to write the words in pursuit of public happiness. And Ben Franklin talked him out of it. He said, you don't need to do that. You don't need to put the word public in the phrase. It's unnecessary, because it is clear to everyone in America and everyone who reads this that we're not talking about a matter of individual indulgence and happiness. We're talking about happiness for a nation, for a people. I'm sad Ben talked him out of that, because I think we've lost the spirit of the phrase. I don't think everyone does understand that we're talking about our society, but we ought to, because the very next phrase says that to secure these rights, governments exist. Now that is what is unique about America. That America believes that the government exists to protect those lives, life and liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of public happiness for everyone in our society. I don't know about you, but some of my grief today comes from the fact that we've lost a lot of the basics of our heritage. We've lost a lot of the heritage of the Christian faith. When somebody asked me if I'm a Methodist, I said, yeah, but my problem is I'm more Methodist than Methodism is anymore. Because I believe in the heritage of Methodism that John Wesley established, and we've lost a lot of that too. And I think as a nation, we've certainly lost the heritage that we exist and our government exists to produce a public happiness. And those of us living today probably have never even thought of it that way. That's what's so sad. We went in a farm supply place early Friday morning. And I forget what issue Jane brought up to the man who was looking up something on his computer for us. But it was something about what was happening in the nation. And he looked up and said, you know, I'm just glad I don't have grandchildren. Well, you know, he almost had a fight on his hand with Jane and I standing there with our three girls. And he says, because, you know, I got serious doubts about whether we're going to be around and functioning very well 50 years from now. Isn't that sad? Doesn't that say something about the heritage we've lost in this great land of ours? And that heritage was founded and circulated in early America by Methodist preachers and the people called Methodists. And the founders, for the most part, were Christians who framed that Declaration and that Constitution. We have lost the sense of community that Paul was talking about in his letter to the Galatians. A community that is grounded in Christ Jesus, who made a sacrifice on a cross to build community. Ernest Burgess, the father of sociology, and Nelson Foote, both right around the end of World War II, said, we're facing a crisis in America. We're facing a crisis because we have fought two world wars for freedom, and people are going to want more freedom in their lives, and we don't have the interpersonal skills to pull it off. We don't know how to deal with that kind of freedom. And we certainly are going to see the greatest impact on our families and on our children and problems in this society. Almost a prophetic voice, is it not, to what we're dealing with and living with today? You know, where is our sense of community? Where is our sense of neighborhood other than geographically? Where are the people that get together in the neighborhood and talk and visit and invite one another over to their houses? Where are the neighbors who plant their gardens and share what they grow with others? We live in emotional and spiritual isolation most of the time. For some kind of fear, we lock ourselves in our houses. And we don't venture out much past the people in our immediate family, which just places so much more pressure on my family to provide all of my needs. And you know, that's more than any husband and wife or children and parents to have to bear alone. That's why we need community. And yet, we often come to church for what we're going to get out of it instead of being a part of the community. Paul was trying to tell the people in Galatia, you come together to bear one another's burdens, to be there for each other, because we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone as individuals. We can't even do it alone as a nuclear family. We need each other. Bear one another's burdens, and in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Last night, I was tired. I'm not used to bouncing around on a tractor all day and doing that kind of work, and I was still tired last night. But a movie came on that I had seen at the theater, Secondhand Lions. And it stars Michael Caine and Robert Duvall and little Haley Joe Osment. It's a story about a mother who ran around a lot and never provided much of a home for her son. And then she realized he had a couple of reportedly rich uncles. So she decided to dump her son off on them in hopes that he would discover their great treasure and she would gain something from that experience. As it was, these two old gentlemen did have a great treasure. Their quirky kind of personalities. They had been world travelers. They had been adventurers. They were just being a budding teenage boy needed to learn about manhood. And it was a little bit of a weird process. But they were both feeling old. As a matter of fact, Michael Caine says, well, we need to plant a garden because that's what old men do. And he ordered them all three new coveralls. And so they come walking out of the house with brand new coveralls that were rolled up on the leg about that much. You know, they make those things for people that are like 8 feet tall. And they come out with those rolled up and a white straw hat on, and they go to gardening. And they start breaking the soil with hoes, and they get it ready, and a salesman comes by to sell them seed. And they were just thrilled. Out of the back of his car, they got tomatoes and turnip seeds and bok choy, which was a little odd. Maybe a dozen different types of things to plant. And they went out and planted those in the row. And they went out and weeded in between the rows. I mean, beautiful garden. And several months later, you see him out there in the garden working. And Haley Joe's the first to notice. He's standing there and said, what's planted in this row? Oh, that's tomatoes. What's planted over here in this row? And he says, oh, that's going to be beets. He's looking because he couldn't tell much difference. Then he went down and said, well, what's planted in this row? Oh, that's going to be beans. And then they all started looking and noticed that all of the plants in all of the rows looked alike. And old Robert Vaught goes out and looks at the picture and looks at the rows and looks at the picture and looks at the rows and says, well, at least we got one right. We got corn. These two old men gave what they had, their hearts, to this lost little boy. And he begged this one uncle who was ready to die because his young life was so much better than his older life. He said, I need you to stay around until I'm old enough to get your manhood speech. And he said, I'll give you a part of that speech. He said, part of that speech is the fact that, you know, sometimes the things you need to believe are the things that are hardest to believe, that you're not quite sure are true. You know, things you can't prove, like love. Those are the things you need to believe the most. And he told him several other things. His brother told the young boy, he says, you know, a person's body gets old, but their spirit doesn't get old. And your Uncle Hub has got the spirit of 20 young men in it. And that boy wanted the influence of that man in his life. See, Paul told us in Galatians, you reap what you sow. They thought they were planting all kinds of vegetables, but they'd been duped. They had fancy envelopes, but there was nothing but seed corn in those envelopes. And they reaped a harvest of corn. They harvested and reaped what they had sown. But you see, all their investment wasn't in that little plot of ground. It was in a boy. And those men changed his lives. We are privileged to live in this nation. We are called upon to pursue public happiness. Our government exists to share that happiness with everybody in our society. It's not just for us, but in our selfishness, we thought of nothing but ourselves. The words of Ernest Burgess and Nelson Foote have come true in our culture because we've not learned from our great heritage. We've sown our seeds selfishly. And what we're reaping is what we've sown. I grieve that often, because we have a great heritage as Americans. We have a great heritage as Methodists. We have a great heritage as Christians. But are we sowing the seeds, tending the garden, and above all, as Jesus said, do we have laborers that are willing to go out and reap the harvest? As long as we pursue personal happiness as our God, we will never achieve the goals of this great nation, the Methodist Church, or the Christian faith. We must sow seeds of righteousness and love as we bear one another's burdens and do all we can to make everyone we meet experience a little bit of the happiness that the Lord Jesus wants to share. Where are the laborers? For the harvest is plentiful. Where are the laborers? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. We thank you for the privilege to worship you here in America. We thank you for our heritage as Christians and Methodists. But for too many years, we have sown seeds of selfishness and self-centeredness. We have come to believe that life is all about us and our individual pursuit of happiness rather than pursuing happiness together as a people. And we look at the crime and the violence. We look inside ourselves and realize that we are fearful of the very neighborhoods and communities in which we live. and the people walking down the street, and we wonder what has gone wrong. Father, help us to understand that we have betrayed our freedoms. We have betrayed the gospel. We have betrayed our heritage. But you can redeem it all. If we will just come to the one who offers us life and abundantly, we can make such a difference in this world of ours. As we come to your table, Father, inspire us to live up to the great call and claim of the Christian faith, of our Methodist heritage, and of the heritage of this great nation of ours, to use our freedom wisely, to sow good seed and reap a wonderful harvest. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.